with the Rover app. You can hear all about Thane's dodgy deals non-stop with Thane and Dunk 24/7. Rover, Channel 51. Download now. R-O-V-A.
The Rock.
Human traffic time, everyone.
It's time for the average New Zealander to celebrate the good-looking ones. If you see someone hot in traffic, let us know. What they're driving, what they look like, where they are, and a cheesy pickup line. We'll add it to today's human traffic report. You might just hook up.
All right, the text number is 3520. The keyword is human for this one. Come on, average-looking New Zealanders. Like she says, let's celebrate the hot ones. Keep an eye out for them.
And remember, you can just lie if you're not hot. We're open to lies, not a problem.
All right, here we go. 3520 to the hottie working at Cambridge Bunnings. I'll build a house if you want to help me fill it.
Human traffic.
To the sexy grader driver in the Higgins Cat Grader south of Takanini, you can come level out my bumps and curves anytime from the brunette in the white Audi.
Human traffic.
To the cougar running along the Auckland waterfront near the cloud at the moment, you're blonde and looking so fit and fine. You're jogging now. How about a marathon later?
Ooh, human traffic.
I'll say cheeky. To the 7-foot honky in the 2-wheel drive Hilux, how about to come over to mine and mac my cheese?
Ugh, yeah. Human traffic.
Shout out to the good looking mofo and the Bull Brothers truck at the Silverdale Lights. You can concrete my path any day.
Human traffic.
Girl on the white Corolla on the southern motorway, you're absolutely gorgeous.
Ooh, human traffic.
To the hot painter girl in Papamoa, come to my house and I'll brush you up the right way.
Ooh, human traffic.
And there's a super cute girl waiting at the bus stop, Henderson Valley Road. Baby, if you give me a smile, I'll drop you anywhere you need to go, as long as it's less than $10 gas. What a gentleman.
And if you heard yourself on human traffic, text us on 3520. We can hook you up with the person that told us how hot you were.
The Rock Drive Home with Thane and Dunk.
Time now to greet our lawyer from our Auckland studio up there in Rock HQ. We got Johnny K standing by. Johnny,
hey,
welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be on the show, man. You're invisible, but your spirit is here.
Yeah, that's right.
What's weather like down there?
I'm glad you asked, actually, Johnny. 9.7 is the actual temperature right now, and we're going down to a low of -3 overnight.
but can I say the Dunedin Harbour or the Otago Harbour is just like a mill pond at the moment?
That's right. You know, the lights just dancing off the harbour just nicely. It's beautiful.
We've got a hell of a view. Right, let's rip into it, Johnny K. Yeah, if you do need if you got a question for our resident lawyer, the keyword is law. Okay. Send your questions to 3520. Hey, Johnny, what paper would I need to fill out to have a Viking-style funeral in Wellington Harbour when I die? From Aiden.
Great question. Right.
A death certificate.
Is that it?
No. I'm just joking. Oh, yeah.
Obviously. That's the obvious
one.
The
answer is no.
You can't.
No, you can't.
I would say there'll be environmental issues around that. And
you got to be buried in a public place, and you can't set fire to yourself like that, right? You can in a crematorium, and then you can spread your ashes over, you know, Wellington Harbour, but that's it.
Here's another one, though. You could do this. Get cremated, get your ashes made into fireworks, and then go out into the harbour and shoot it up.
Yeah.
There you go. That's nice.
Yeah, when I go, I want to be shot out of a Roman candle into the Hauraki Gulf.
Can do, mate. Can do.
To be honest, though, I'm glad that's illegal, because I reckon a human body on a little wee raft floating out in the middle of the air would stink.
Exactly.
No one needs that. Imagine if there started being 20 a day going out.
Exactly. I agree with Duncan. Another question here. Hey, guys, question for your resident lawyer. Me and my ex-girlfriend brought a vehicle together. It's got not ownership paperwork because it's in need of restoring. We paid half each, and I paid for restoring cost, storage, transportation of it. She walked out on me in April 2016 and took everything of hers, told me and my parents there was nothing left of hers at the house since. Then she's never contacted me or asked about the vehicle, wanted to know what's the deal with it. Can I claim full ownership of it, seeing she walked away from it and I'm the one storing it?
No, I would. Right. So it depends on if it's a relationship of long duration, if it's 3 years or more. If it's 3 years or more, then she's still entitled to half. In fact, she's legally at half, even if you weren't in a relationship. So she's entitled to a half. Just because you walked out with everything doesn't mean she's not entitled to your half. What you've got to do then is claim your half back.
You could ask for a box of beer for her half, though, right? As long as it's something exchanges.
Is that all you're asking for? What about the bourbon?
Yeah, well, you know, go top shelf if you really have to.
Oh, okay. Kirby. Always playing in the grey area, mate.
Absolutely.
All right, ticket, get them into us. 3520, right. The keyword is law. I got done drink driving at the start of the year, got myself a work licence, but about 2 weeks ago, I stupidly decided to drive my mate's car into a light pole. Now I'm facing careless driving and driving...
It's contrary to the terms of limited licence. Yeah, okay, so the guy is up for one, careless driving... Two, driving contrary to the license. That's a minimum mandatory disqualification of 6 months. Three, the cost of the poll off from the council.
Right. What are they? A few grand?
Yeah, no, they can be $3,000-$4,000, depending on how much you smash. If it's a big concrete one with, you know, lots of electricity and telephone connections on it, they're really expensive.
I thought that would be insured. Would you have to pay for that yourself?
But he's not driving his car, isn't he? He's driving his mate's car.
Yeah.
And the mate's insurance policy mightn't extend to him.
Of course.
And he's driving a contrary. He doesn't have a license, technically, because he's driving the wrong car. What he should have done was make an application to vary his limited license to include his mate's car. Then maybe, just maybe, because, you know, you can have a license and you can have a second party, you know, a partner, a wife, husband, you know, daughter, son sort of thing. But we don't really know, but I suspect not. So he's up for his mate's car as well.
Okay, another one from the text, 3520. I own a section. Am I able to dig under that section, lay a shipping container down there, decked out as, and have a man cave or apocalypse shelter?
Right. Well, I've had this, but allegedly my client was doing was manufacturing methamphetamine.
Right.
I think it's really dodgy putting a... container underground, man. You're just asking for trouble.
Well, don't be all judgy, Johnny. Yes or no?
All right. Okay. So,
what are you saying?
Man cave. It's not illegal. You own the land, interestingly enough, to the centre of the earth and to right up into the sky, theoretically. In fact, you don't, but that's the principle.
Oh, so well, in Texas, I know in Texas, you own all the minerals and the oil under your property. Yeah. So, if you want to mine them, you can.
Yes, the old Jed Clampett thing.
Pretty much.
Yeah, but not New Zealand. But, yeah, can you put a... I suppose so long as it's not in breach of the bylaws containing to do with construction. There's nothing stopping you, no.
Hey, Johnny, this week our trip's been funded by Kraft Mac and Cheese, so we would also like to fund you with Kraft Mac and Cheese. Feel free to grab a couple from the freezer outside the studio.
Okay, man.
On your way out as payment for today.
Thank you.
Mate, radio, it's going to keep you full, at least for
time. I'm hungry. Didn't eat today.
3520 on the text. Let's hit him with a couple of questions.
All right, Johnny. My ex-employer paid me for 3 months after I left. They admitted fault and now want me to pay it back. Can they make me?
Yes.
Boo. That's rubbish. My wife and I are shareholders in my parents' building company. We own 50% but no involvement in the day-to-day running of the business. Long story short, her dad, the director, is in bad health. The company is over $2 million in debt. Are you going to inherit this debt?
Are we going to inherit this debt?
No, you need more information there, but the bottom line is this. The debt is the company's, right? But it depends on who are the guarantors under any loan to the company, right? So the shareholders, if their contract's a guarantee with, you know, the bank, may be liable for the debt.
Yeah, you got to check the paperwork on that one, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Far out, $2 million. 3520, keyword is law. G'day, Johnny. A friend had a signature-required package go missing when tracking, and it was said it was signed for using a courier. Turns out the package was signed by a random person at the friend's old address, but the courier driver never asked for identification. The courier company said they were not liable for anything as the package was signed for, even though it was not signed by the addressee. Where do we stand?
That's a very interesting legal question. Depends on...
Have we stumped him?
No. You could make... this is what you could do. You could send a letter of demand for the value of the goods. plus the postage to the courier company, and then to give them 7 days to respond, and then you could go to the disputes tribunal. But they might say that under their contract as the couriers, once it's signed for, it's not their responsibility, because the bottom line is the person to whom the addressee can sue the person that picked up the goods, namely the person that signed for it.
Ah.
So, right, so you would have to add the person who signed for it to the civil applications. Yeah, that's what you've got to do.
Okay, load them on.
Find out who took it and then sue them.
My mate once signed for a fridge freezer from a well-known chain store.
And?
Still got it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Runs well?
It happens. Yeah, it does. Apparently it's very good. Nice. Very economical on its pocket.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
Right. And the police are going around there right now, yeah.
Yeah, they probably will be now. Sorry, Aaron.
Yeah. Hey, next question for Johnny. Yeah. I hired a rubbish skip 6 months ago. I ordered a 6 cube size one online. They dropped off a 9 cube one. Apparently, I was supposed to only fill it up 2/3 of the way, but no one told me. So I filled it up to the top. They picked it up. And then 3 months later, they called me and are asking for an additional $50. They say it was in their terms and conditions and fine print. I reckon they should have made it more clearer. Should I pay that $50?
I don't think you're bound to, unless it's in the contract of employment that it can be varied at any time by them unilaterally. But generally speaking, if there's no variation of contract by consent, then they can't ask for the $50.
3 months later, asking for $50.
Plus, they've got a duty to ask you within a reasonable time.
All right, one last question before we wrap it up and play another song.
Yep.
Hey, guys, just wondering, I'm 24, running my own business. If I shack up with a girl, which isn't easy these days, is she going to be entitled to half of everything or only half of my wage that I would take out for myself out of the business?
Right, well, here I give a shout-out to Rebecca Tierney, barrister, who's my go-to for the family law questions. The answer is this. It has to be a marriage of long duration, which is 3 years or more. Exceptions are where you're living together with a child and or both parties have a house each and what they live in one and not the other. Next thing is this. What you've got to do to protect your interests is either a prenuptial agreement, should you be living with someone, or alternatively a trust. You can put it in a company, but then that doesn't work very much because they are entitled to half the value of the company at the time of the dissolution of the relationship.
Here's a problem. You're 24 and you're a business owner. That means you should be hooking up with people. I'll be telling everybody that. That's fantastic news.
Business.
Just get a life.
Thank Kirby, business owner, on the business cards to get handed out.
Director, CEO. Exactly. We've got Johnny K in the studio. Johnny, a quick fire round.
Yeah, man, go for it.
And 3520 on this quick round via text, everybody.
Keyword is law. Here we go. Land access. I own a quarter share in a bush block. The only access crosses another property, and I have been trespassed from the driveway. My co-owner still gets to use it. I've done nothing wrong, and I've been threatened and shot at with a shotgun. Where do I start?
Well, technically you can't, so you need to ask them politely. Otherwise, you'd need to try and get an injunction, which costs you a bit of money. So they can do that. That's legal.
What's more expensive, an injunction or a helicopter?
Well, you know what? I would call the police first and get the shooting under control and then look at your options.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Law, can your company force you to go to after-work functions and staff meetings without paying you for your time? This is from a wage worker.
That's a very interesting question. There is an argument in the employment court that constitutes work, right? If you're really obliged to attend, then you should get paid to go. So you could enforce it. You could say I'm working, so you should pay me for it.
Gotcha.
3520, keyword is law. I have two properties. I'm looking at buying a third soon. Yep. I'm single and looking to protect these from any gold diggers that may come along. Am I best to put them into a trust, or how does a see-through company work, from Brett?
Right, okay. The answer is a trust and or prenuptial agreement.
Hey, JK, if I took 4 days leave at work, then was sick during this time and got a doctor's certificate for 3 days, what should I get paid, sick or annual leave?
Technically speaking, that's annual leave, right? So what happens is, what you can do is, if it runs over, right, so say you take 4 days annual leave and then you're sick, just be realistic, notify the employer, and then claim sick leave after that.
So 3-5
it's still annual leave, man.
Okay.
3-5-0 keyword law. Can I get fined for driving an automatic car when a SATMA restricted and a manual?
No. No, it's the reverse. So let's just say that you don't have a license. So, say you've got a license for only automatic cars, that means you can't drive a manual.
Is there a statute of limitations for filing a complaint against a veterinarian?
Yeah, very interesting question. I think the answer is no, but generally speaking, you have to lay a complaint within a reasonable time. But they're regardless of the length of period of time, they are obliged to consider it. However, it can be considered, you know, difficult getting evidence for and against someone after, you know, years and years and years. So the answer is no, there's no statute of limitations for a complaint against a veterinarian.
Okay. Johnny K, throw your phone number out there. We're going to wrap you up now.
Okay, 021-653-933.
And if you missed that, just text LAW to 3520. Yeah. We'll bounce it back with all Johnny's details.
Yeah, Johnny features
a lot,
all
man.
That.
Thanks.
No worries, mate. Hey, see you next Monday.
I'm going to be in the parole board in Mount Eden Prison, so Johnny K's going to be in jail next okay. Monday at 4 o'clock. So if we could do it Tuesday, I'd be very grateful.
Yeah, done. Consider it done.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, appreciate Johnny. That. The Rock Drive Home with Thane and Dunk. Live from Dunedin, thanks to Kraft Mac and Cheese, visiting university, actually going back to uni for a whole week. Thursday, we've got a 21st. Tonight, we're actually putting on a wee informal shindig on Castle Street.
There wasn't anything planned, but sometimes are the best parties, so we'll be at Thirsty Boys after the broadcast.
But how cold will it be? It's a very good evening to Richard Green.
Hey, thank you very much. I hope you guys are warm.
No.
No.
Okay, that's good. Next week, next thing. Thank you. We're sort of
yeah. Done. We're in a fridge. We're in Dunedin, and it is bitterly cold. And what? Some kind of snowstorm? I'm reading sleets, plummeting temperatures. It's
yeah. Thane, I would say get out of the fridge and hop into the freezer. You know, it's not flash, and you've chosen a week. Could be Dunedin's coldest week of the winter. And
just our luck.
Yeah, I know. And we might even throw in a bit of hail and sleet. And if you're lucky, about the higher suburbs, you know, you might be all right where you guys are. But a bit of snow as well. Might even drive into the city too, just for good measure.
Oh, man. Oh, so, Richard, we're living on Castle Street at Thirsty Boys Flat this week. And
okay, yeah.
We went and checked it out earlier, and it was like, oh, that's weird. All the flatmates are outside, and they were sitting on a bench outside Thirsty Boys because outside on the bench was warmer than what it was in their house.
Oh,
and it was
6
degrees.
That would be, yeah, that can happen. And, well, tomorrow you might just want to drop a few degrees off that as well. I don't know whether it's going to be colder inside or outside where you are.
God.
But Castle Street, I know well, spent a few years there myself many years ago in Dunners, and yeah, it can get pretty lively, but I reckon you might see some white stuff where you are tomorrow, just to top things off. But yeah, but it's actually further north, even Christchurch could see a few flurries on Wednesday, and then Wellington Hill suburbs late Wednesday into Thursday. So yeah, it's pretty cold, doesn't matter where you are. But, yeah.
Okay, I tell you what, I haven't seen the snow for a long time, so I'm actually going to embrace it. I'm going to embrace this whole trip. I thank you very much for your time, mate. We have got to move on, but Richard, thanks for bringing us up to date with the weather.
No worries. Stay warm, guys. Thane and Dunk.
Speaking of geniuses, a damn genius that came up with Outrageous Fortune in Westside. Series 3 of Westside starts tonight, 8:30 on 3.
He gets one last shot.
Your son is a bloody criminal genius.
I want your mother here or your friends die.
Hi, I'm Cheryl.
From Westside, Series 3, we've got Will Hall in studio. Welcome, Will.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How are you, mate? All right?
Yeah, not too bad. Still recovering from heck of a weekend of, you know, revelry with the Lions fans.
Did you rip into it, did you? How'd you feel after the game?
To be honest, I felt okay. You know, I had a couple of Welshmen and a couple of Irishmen staying with me. So, being a draw, they didn't trash my house with too much partying and they didn't trash it with being too upset. They were relatively happy, and I guess it was a fair result in the end of the day.
Boy, oh boy, there's a lot of hype around Old Westside at the moment.
Oh, yeah, bit of hype there. We need it, though, to be fair. I just drove on the way here. I drove past a Game of Thrones billboard, and I see that's also going to air 8:30 on a Monday night. So we've got a pretty jammed time slot, and we're going to take on the best TV show in the world.
You'll be right. Yeah, you'll be right.
Yeah.
The West will be right. They'll prevail.
Hey, can you tell us a little bit about this season?
Well, this season, as far as Mike McCarthy goes, we're getting to see another side of him, the domestic side. He's a domestic goddess, it turns out. I had to draw the line when they tried to put a penny and a bit of an apron on him. I said, no, he won't be wearing that. I don't remember anyone in 1982 wearing an apron. Yeah, we're getting to know him outside of police uniform, and so he's shacked up with Nyree Munro, obviously. Ex-wife of Lefty. Yeah, so a bit of tension there. I think Lefty's got Mike in his sights. So I guess we're dealing with the fallout of that and the fact that how does a cop and a gang mole form a cohesive relationship?
Anything goes in 1982, though, right? Because, I mean, it was a mammoth year. Muldoon's in power. Yeah, Kevin Black dominating radio.
Yeah, well, from what I gather, they... Everyone drunk at the same pubs anyway out west. Mm. Your cops, your crooks, everyone, they all knew each other.
How's this for a rumour? And Thane just mentioned Kevin Black, legendary broadcaster, probably the most famous one from back in the day in New Zealand. The rumour was around that time in the 1980s that guy there was broadcasting just to Auckland, not to the whole country, because they hadn't worked out how to do that yet, but was getting paid $1 million a year to do it.
Wow. Incredible.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's amazing, all right? Wow. Crazy.
He must have been popular.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. And used to get dropped off in a limousine every day to work and wouldn't start the show unless he'd had a whole bottle of champagne.
And also my favourite drink, the Miami wine cooler. Do you remember that?
It was about the only thing you could buy at a supermarket, wasn't it?
Yeah,
In the 80s.
What was a Miami wine cooler?
It was pre-cider. And it was just kind of like all the ladies used to drink Miami wine cooler. And then if you weren't old enough to drink or buy any alcohol, you used to take your mum's. You know. Bloody hell.
Yeah. Doesn't Wolf meet Cheryl this year and on this season, yeah?
Yeah, the greatest love story ever told in New Zealand television history, this one. So we're going to get to see the start of it.
Sweet.
And I haven't seen what Cheryl looks like in any of the marketing, but I'm assuming she's going to be smoking hot.
I think your assumption's bang on the money. the only bit of promo I've seen was, she was there trying to reach for the Weet-Bix from the very top shelf wearing only her...
I did see that.
Game of Thrones have got a lot of tits and ass. I mean, you packing some nudity with this?
There'll be plenty of Mike McCarthy. I can promise you Mike McCarthy in the beige Y-fronts this evening. I think he's in one scene and he's... You know, there'll be no time for him to put his top on.
Tonight, 8:30 on the 3 West Side, Series 3. Will Hall, an actor there. You'll be on the telly. Congratulations. Well done. Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
And that's another great signer from Thane Kirby. Congratulations.
It's both insincere with laced with no emotion. I love it. It's one of my best. Thane and Dunk. The Rock. All right. I want everyone to open their Facebook page now.
If you're driving, wait until you get home. Just listen to the podcast. Listen to this bit on Rover.
Rover 51, app. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're successfully in?
Yes.
Jacqueline, are you in?
Yes.
Check our promo. She's in.
Okay. So everybody now go to settings. Because we're going to track down the Facebook police monitoring your account, waiting for you to stuff up so they can take action.
Okay, so you go to Facebook.
General account settings.
Click on it.
Are you on there now?
Yes.
Jacqueline, you following?
Yep.
Great. I want you now to go to blocking.
Yep, it's got a little wee road sign thing. I'm on that.
Go to blocking. Jacqueline, are you there in blocking? No?
Sorry, mate.
You're on the phone? Okay, good. Go to blocking. This is the block users. This is your managed blocking area. Firstly, you'll see restricted list, and then you'll see blocked block users. Duncan, have you got block users there?
Yeah, and it shows the names of the people that I've blocked on Facebook because they're punishing me.
Yeah. How many have you got and yours blocked?
I'm a nice guy. I've only got one, but geez, he must have pissed me off.
I've got about 50. So a lot of people want to kill me out there. All right, here we go. So then in your blocked users...
It's got like a little, you can say add name or email.
Yeah, right. No, I just want you to go block users and I want you to type in Facebook, one word, police. Oh, no.
Security.
Security. Security. That's the other word. Facebook security.
And then hit
block. And then you will see the names of the people following your account without your knowledge right now.
We've got different ones.
Yep.
Okay, I've got Christine... Brocaz. Right. Am I allowed to say this?
Brocaz.
Brocaz.
She's supposed to be from Dunedin. Anyways, so you've got a whole lot of names here.
I've got three.
Right. I've got about, I've deleted about 20, but I've got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I've got 7 watching me. Now, what I suggest you do immediately is block those people.
See you, Christine.
And then there are some you can't block. There's some that will just come with your account and they will monitor you because that's what Facebook want them to do.
Block. I've got rid of Mel as well.
Mel's gone.
And
how about you, Jacqueline?
Got Tiffany LeBlanc.
Tiffany, are you?
I've got someone. Jeez, I've got code names or something. I've got some guy called Spatula.
Old Spatchy. Spatchy's following you too?
Yeah, Spatchy Jones. I'm getting rid of him.
So there you go, guys. So I suggest tonight you spend the time to block these people. Because if you put a rogue post on, you share something, or you provide information that in your messenger to somebody else, these guys are reporting it to Facebook because they have access.
I wonder what that's worth a year.
I don't know.
I could save them. Well, how many people are following you? I could save them a lot of money and just dob you in.
Exactly. You could. But you won't.
Good to know. Yeah. You always learn something in this radio show, don't you?
There you go.
Admittedly, it got to like halfway through 5 o'clock before I learned something, but there you always learn something.
Thane and Dunks drive home. Thane's going to be eating Kraft mac and cheese.
Pretty much 40 minutes away from my next Kraft mac and cheese. Tonight, it's going to be 4 cheeses for me.
Yeah, I know. I like the way you think. I'll either do that or the spag bowl version, the spag bowl. Yeah, bowl.
Yeah, bowl. All right. It is getting colder, though. I've noticed everyone, even the inside here in the studios in Dunedin, are getting a little bit brisk.
Can I just say that we talked to the media, or the News Hub meteorologist expert, Richard Green, earlier in the show, and he had this to say about the weather that's on its way.
Could be Dunedin's coldest week of the winter, and we might even throw in a bit of hail and sleet. And if you're lucky, about the higher suburbs, you know, you might be all right where you guys are, but a bit of snow as well. Might even drive into the city too, just for good measure.
Do you think he's mildly underselling it though? Because
I'm already going to struggle. I mean, I brought down with me my balaclava. And maybe tonight at Thirsty Boys, the flat on Castle Street, people are going to be like, who's the guy in the balaclava? And I'll be like, that's Duncan. He's from Canterbury. This is a little bit colder in Dunedin. But then Roger from The Breakfast Show, I'm just calling through on my mobile phone now.
People are calling this a rare snow event. This is the biggest in recent years. Forecast is a polar blast now.
Yeah, I'll just call it Roger because he just sent us an email with the title saying 4 Days of Hell.
God damn it. Pick up Roger.
Hey, mate.
Hey, Roger, you're on the radio. It's Thane and Dunk here. How are you?
Hey, mate.
Good, mate. Good, mate, yourself?
You just sent through an email trying to rub something in, and I haven't even opened the article, but it says 4 days of hell.
4 days of hell on the way for you boys. The worst storm to hit the country all year. They're talking the worst storm to hit the country in the last 4 or 5 years, actually.
Oh, my.
Sorry about that.
Do you know, we went, like, as soon as we got to Dunners this morning, we went straight to Thirsty Boys, our flat that was staying there on Castle Street. And
how was it?
We pulled up, and I was like, well, that's unusual. There's quite a lot of people on the bench seat outside. And we started talking to them. I was like, why are you guys all outside? They're like, oh, it's warmer outside than what it is on the inside. And it just cracked 5 degrees, and they were sitting having a cup of tea on the little bench seat out front. And we walked inside, and they're right. Inside is actually like a freezer.
You boys, apparently, I checked because I was telling my wife about this, and apparently, a fridge is about 4 degrees.
We're essentially
you guys are living in a fridge.
yes we are.
And one of those annoying fridges where the milk slightly freezes over if you keep it at the back.
And your veggies go a bit frozen as well. Sorry, boys, I'm just in my car at the moment. It's 26 degrees.
you prick. Instead of milk, though, and Thirsty Boys tonight, that'll be me and Thane's penises freezing over. So, hey.
Well, as long as you guys don't get stuck together like the movie Dumb and Dumber.
Get him off the phone. I've had enough. Get him
off. They'll need him.
If you guys are spooning each other, one of you, you guys will actually end up getting frozen, stuck to each other like a couple of ice blocks. A couple of million ice blocks.
Jeez. All right.
All right,
mate.
All right. We'll tune in for more of those gems tomorrow morning, mate, from 6. We'll be up.
Have a good night, boys.
All right, mate. See you later. Roger.
Holy hell. Jeez, wow. We got served. I'm definitely not going to spoon you.
That's a lot to spoon, mate. You need a spoon.
Now I'm going to get a sacrificial spoon from the party and make them spoon, then I'll hug onto them.
All right, perfect.
I don't want to freeze to you.
Thane and Dunk's drive home.
The Rock.